better than that. There is no better place to be than in the heart of God. And I thank you so much for placing us there. And your music and your joy help us to get there. And I thank you so much. So have you ever noticed, it's okay because it's just us. I don't know for sure that recording is working. So it's just us. Have you ever noticed how all the agricultural metaphors that are used in the Bible? Okay? I mean, and sometimes they work great, but sometimes they can be so confusing. You know, you're trying to figure it out. And even in churches sometimes. And sometimes I think we need to stop and think about what it is like for a person who did not grow up in the church. And they come into the church, and it's their first time, and they're visiting, and maybe the minister gets up, and the minister says something about the church plant. Now, in church language, in minister language, when they say, you know, the church plant, that typically means when a bigger church is starting a smaller church. And they will call that a church plant, because they're planting that church, hoping that it will grow. But if you're a first-time visitor, and you're sitting in the pew, and the minister gets up there, and the minister says, we need to raise $100,000 for our new church plant. And you can imagine, the visitor's looking around. $100,000? Doesn't that seem a bit excessive? For a plant? Even if it's for a church? You can imagine, they don't know you're talking about a new... They're thinking, you know, you're talking about... No. Sometimes it can be confusing. Even talk about seeds sometimes can be confusing. Or we get confused sometimes. Our four-year-old comes running up to us and says, Dad, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a doctor. And you're thinking, yes! I've been planting that seed of greatness and compassion, and this is great. He's going to be a doctor. And so you tell your four-year-old how proud you are. Oh, you're going to help people. This is going to be great. You're going to be sharing love and care and helping them get better. And they tell you, yep, that's what I'm going to be. And then off they go, running off to play again. And then they shout over their shoulder, or a dinosaur. And you're thinking, wait, come back. No. Both seeds running around. And that four-year-old, now, you know, it's just a four-year-old, but you wonder sometimes about the seeds that get planted. And you know, it can be confusing. Last week, we heard that parable about the sower, and that sower was sowing seeds in a very reckless way. And today we hear about somebody else practicing bad farming. You don't have weeds and wheat growing up together. What the heck? That's not good farming practice. Letting weeds and grow together, it doesn't make any sense. Now chances are with our four-year-old, we're not really worried about them growing up to be a dinosaur. Well, that doesn't really seem like a strong possibility. All right, but in the parable, there is a concern. There is a concern because the weeds that Jesus is talking about are very, very real. He describes them as saying that they were intentionally sown there by the enemy. The weeds, which could have been darnel or cockle, or those of you who know about farming, false wheat. The Latin word, allolium tendulentum. I like to give you some words sometimes like that, you know. Now you can go around saying, allolium tendulentum, you know, and people will know exactly what you're talking about. And it actually comes from a Latin word that means drunk. Because if you eat that plant, if you eat the seeds of that plant, it can cause you to get dizzy. It can cause you to lose your balance. Whether you're an animal or a human, it doesn't matter. It can cause you to get nauseous. It's a very real poisonous plant. And if you eat too much of it, it can kill you. is not to be taken lightly. The evil that is growing up around us is not to be taken lightly. We're not supposed to just ignore it and dismiss it, and yet we're told you're not supposed to pull it either. Don't try to pull the weeds. They represent evil, yes. That evil is real, yes. It is among us, yes. But sometimes, in fact, many, many times, when we try to purge, we end up doing more damage than good. If you've studied history, you're going to get a ton of history lessons. Diana's not here to shake her head and go, So you're going to get a lot of history stuff. And if you've studied history, then you know you've probably heard of a person named Hitler and the Nazis. You may have heard of Stalin. Or you're saying, well, what about in America? What about McCarthyism in the 1950s? You ever hear that? And it's not just in politics and countries. It's in the church. The Crusades ring a bell. Not one. No, we weren't happy just having one crusade. Let's do it again. Or we could do an Inquisition. It seems like when you even study church history, every time the church has tried to exclude people because of their race, exclude people because of their gender, exclude people because of their gender identity, every single time we try to exclude people, we're wrong. That's not the way God's kingdom works. That's not the way it's supposed to happen. That's why we're given this parable. God is saying, leave the weeds alone. I'll take care of it. I'm aware of it. I see them growing there, and there will come a time of judgment. And there will come a time of accountability. And there will come a time in which all evil will be purged. The problem is, you know, we sometimes aren't familiar with our history. Y'all ever read the book 1984? George Orwell's book? All right, and we can almost see it unfolding before us now. We see it just unrolling before us now. Look how we try to change what's reality. Have you seen the latest in Florida? We're going to have a revised American history about slavery. Did you hear about this? Yes. No, we did not kidnap people from another country, take them away from their country and their culture and their family and their friends and make them serve a lifetime as a slave. No, no. You don't understand. We rescued them. Gave them a free transatlantic cruise so that they could come to America and learn life skills. And the Nazis took a bunch of frozen Jews and decided to put them in ovens so they could keep them warm. Knowing history and knowing how things work and don't work is important, because sometimes, even beside ourselves, even despite ourselves, sometimes we get it right. Did you ever hear of the Mennonites? The Mennonites. You've got to have heard of them. They're kind of like the Amish, but different. All right? And the Mennonites, they're quaint, but they're a quiet, simple folk. Quiet, simple people, and they just live unassuming lives, and they have a few things. They don't believe in oaths. They don't believe in infant baptism. They don't believe in military service. And they have a quaint way of farming and a quaint way of living. Plain-spoken people wearing plain clothes, just going about their life in that way. And you might, if you knew history, might remember that in the 1890s, and the railroads are going out west, and they're doing all of that, and they're just selling at bargain prices, selling large tracts of land. Because they want homesteaders to get the land, because then the homesteaders will farm, and then they'll have to get that produce to market, and guess what they're going to have to use? The railroad. See how that works? So these farmers will grow all these crops, have them taken to the rail depot, and then it will be shipped off to be done. And so that's what was going on, and this is in the 1890s, and the Mennonites took them up on the offer. If you ever go to Kansas, you're going to trip over Mennonites. They're all over the place. They took up that offer, bought the fields, and started their own way of farming the wheat there. They had their own seed, had their own way of farming, and they were just doing a great job, just having a great time. And then, if you've studied history, you know there was a drought. A terrible, horrible, no good, very bad drought. It was so bad that the Department of Agriculture is coming in and looking at what can we do? Because all and they're touring the fields. They're touring the farms. And the wheat has been parched. It is scorched. It is not thriving. It is dying. And they go from field to field to field to see this devastation. What can we do to help? And they're going and they're going. And all of a sudden, they come to a Mennonite farm. And the Mennonite wheat is thriving. It's not parched. It's not withered. It's not dead. It's thriving. How the heck? Well, I don't understand. So let's jump forward 100 years. And it's 1975. And Russia has this humongous crop failure. One third of the expected crops did not come in. They are facing mass starvation. And so guess what they have to do? They have to buy wheat. And guess who they have to buy it from? Us. This is back in the 70s. We had a little bit of an opportunity there. And so we sell them the wheat. If only the Russians had had Mennonites. And here's the deal. In the early 1800s, they did. In the early 1800s, the Mennonites lived in Russia. But the Tsar wanted them to be in the army, and they are against doing the military service, so he kicked them out. And they went and planted their seeds here in America. And do you know what they called their wheat? Red wheat from their homeland in Crimea, specially designed for droughts. If Russia had allowed the Mennonites to stay, we would not have had the wheat, and we would be buying wheat from them. But they kicked the Mennonites out, and now we see what happens with that harvest. Every time we try to purge people, every time we try to tell God that we know better than God, it ends up being wrong. And that's why we're told this parable. This is why we're told about this, that we are not the ones that get to decide that. We are being reminded that purging and excluding and weeding doesn't work because that's not our job. That's not what we're called to do. Our job is to be inviting and inclusive. God takes care of the judgment. Yes, there will be a judgment, and we're not the judge. We're not the judge. We are the welcoming committee, not the screening committee. We don't get to decide who belongs in the kingdom of God and who does not belong in the kingdom of God. We do not get to decide who is worthy and who is not worthy. We do not get to decide who is deserving and who is not deserving. Because every time we try to do that, we end up being wrong. Every single time. Years ago, I'm told that there was a legend. I believe it was in the Caribbean islands. I'm not sure. But there was a legend. People who had come in from other countries, slaves, now maybe having some freedom, introduced to the thought of Christianity. Someone had shared the gospel with them, and the seeds of Christianity got planted in their hearts and in their spirits. And we all know about the second coming when Jesus is going to come again. And in that culture, a legend grew that when Jesus came back, he wasn't going to be white and he wasn't going to be black. He would be a mulatto. a mulatto. Why a mulatto? Why not all black? Why not being able to identify with color? No, no, no. Must be white too to save the white man. How can anybody who grew up with slavery, taken away from their home, serving lifetimes of servitude, have such a gracious, wonderful response and concern that even oppressors would be saved? Because that's the way God's kingdom works. God's kingdom is about love and grace. God's kingdom is about reminding people that they have been created by God, loved by God, redeemed by God, healed by God, forgiven by God, embraced by God. All people, everyone, no matter the evil that has been done, what is the purpose of grace if it is not forgiveness? If it is not wholeness? If it is not healing? That's our job. We plant those seeds. Seeds of God's love and God's mercy. Seeds of God's promise and God's future. Seeds that let people know no one is beyond the reach of God. Remember, the field belongs to God, not us. And God is at work. God continues to look at his field, and only God's love is strong enough to cultivate it, to find a way in order to bring all people into the harvest, in order to bring all people into the kingdom, in order to bring all people into a realization of the gift of God's love and grace. Amen.